from high atop Fox News headquarters in New York City. Always seeking solutions, never sowing division. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest moments of the Brian Kilmeade Show. Thanks so much for listening. We have a lot going on today. We're following all the breaking news. If you're watching The View, that's where you're going to find the press secretary, because she doesn't give press conferences anymore. We don't know where the president is, but don't worry about it. We have this hour going to be joined by Mike Lawler, the congressman from New York, and the congressman from Oklahoma, Kevin Hearn. And we'll be taking your calls, too. So let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
I know yesterday's news was surprising, and it's hard for you to hear, but it was the right thing to do. But, you know, you're an amazing team, but we've got a great, I think we made the right decision.
What do you mean we made the right decision? Did you? Why did you go, Joe? Was it your choice? According to the New York Post, it was not. I'll explain.
Number two.
You were subpoenaed today to provide answers, and ma'am, you did not. He and I will be sending a letter requesting that you submit your resignation.
I will be joining the chairman in calling for the resignation of the director.
The secret is out. The Secret Service director is a national embarrassment, and both parties agree that she needs to be fired after her smug, arrogant testimony on Capitol Hill as questions surge about the assassination attempt on Trump.
Number one.
All of this is to say building up the middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency. We know that's not the future Donald Trump is fighting for.
Right. Change at the top. The Dems rally around deeply flawed, unaccomplished VP Kamala Harris to take on Trump. As Biden phones in his support, we try to put it all in perspective. It's unbelievable. I mean, number one, you know that he did not want to leave. Everybody knows he did not want to leave. There's not one person who thinks that he thought that he was too old and didn't have it anymore. He was in total denial. You watched him on the campaign trail come out and say over and over again, I'm not going anywhere. I had one bad debate, one bad night, over and over again. That's why I talked to Lester Holt. That's why I talked to George Stephanopoulos. That's why I talked to Ed Gordon of BET. That's why he did all those events, event after event, to show everyone he could do it. Now we're to believe that he thinks he can't do it? Well, according to the New York Post, Nancy Pelosi decided he had to go and decided to get together with Chuck Schumer and do good cop, bad cop. She'd be the bad cop saying, you got to go. Look at your polling. You can't win. You got to step aside. And Chuck Schumer went and visited him 8 days ago, gave him a hug and said, listen, take a week, make your decision, but do it for your legacy. You should really go. Do it for your legacy. Do it for your life. Do it for your party. Because right now, you don't want to let the world be stuck with Donald Trump. Those are his words. That's this mindset. And then next thing you know, Kamala Harris says, I'd like to do it. I'd like to earn it. And to her credit, she consolidated power quickly, called everybody that would be a contender, told them they're on the short list for vice president. I imagine they are. And then went ahead and said, I have enough delegates, 500 and 1,000. Just about everybody, including Nancy Pelosi, have now backed her. And it looks like Kamala Harris is going to be the nominee. And it didn't take her long to attack the former president, who might just be the future president. According to the polls, he's up by 5, 7, and 10. Here is Kamala Harris taking aim.
Before I was elected as vice president, before I was elected as United States senator, I was the elected attorney general, as I've mentioned, of California. And before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women. Fraudsters who ripped off consumers. Cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
Right. Good luck with that. So we start the day before she was actually the runner, before she was the nominee, and then she's virtually it. The Harris Forbes poll has Trump up by 9 as of July 21st. On Point Politics, Southern Cal Research has Trump up by 10. Q poll has Trump up by 4. Atlantic Journal Constitution up by 4. Where could she do better? Maybe Nevada, Arizona, Georgia. Where did she virtually give up? Pennsylvania, where she doesn't like fracking, doesn't really have much residence there. I think she could have lost Michigan already, might be gone. So those two places, Ohio is never in their column. So Trump should absorb it, sit back, and they say in the next 2 weeks, they have $11 million worth of ads going her direction. Now, what does she have? She's better behind a microphone than Joe Biden. Everybody is. She's better in a prompter than Joe Biden. Everybody is. What she doesn't have is the ability or willingness, reportedly, nothing's changed that I could tell, to study, to understand policy positions, to go deep, to nuance, to explain herself at the border, explain herself when it comes to energy, not talk rhetorically about the need for green energy, talk practically about the need to compete globally with fossil fuels respectfully and responsibly. Why would you go reignite relationship with Venezuela? Do you have anything to say about that? Why did you stop putting up the wall? What exactly, why exactly have you not been to the border? More than once, a cursory visit that lasted 45 minutes. How could you not see it as a national priority when 8 million people came here illegally? How could you say it's a priority for you to say, we got to make sure when people come into our border illegally, it's no longer a criminal offense, especially when they sneak in? These are the things to worry about. These are the things to think about. For Trump, see what they got, see what she has, and see how the game has changed. It's definitely harder now. But there's another story in the Wall Street Journal today that I think is going to come back to hurt the vice president. And that is how they knew back as early as 2021, what was happening behind the scenes, that Joe was failing. They talk about in 2021, they had an infrastructure deal that eventually got passed for $1 trillion, $1 trillion deal. And they're trying to sell Democrats on the need to do it at this level. And Joe Biden got up and made no sense, meandered, confused, had no idea where he was going. Nancy Pelosi quickly got up, scrambled, and she thought she saved the explanation. A lot of people were horrified by it. You know what Ron Klain said after the chief of staff? It was so smart of Joe Biden not to twist arms down there and just explain the program and let them make their own decision. Nothing leaked out. 2023, going over for a mini summit with NATO nations. He had a 5-day trip. He had to blow off 3 days of meetings and just had two of them because he said he was too tired. They watched as he gutted his schedule. They talked about him going behind the scenes in 2024 and just having a right after the State of the Union address when everyone thought he was fine, starting vigorous for 15 minutes and then slowly fading where he became inaudible. Now, when the Wall Street Journal wrote a story similar 3 weeks ago or a month ago, they said, how dare you do that? These are unnamed sources. This is just not true. This is another Wall Street Journal right-wing Rupert Murdoch hit job. It turned out to be 100% true. Robert Herd does that report after doing an interview with Joe Biden for his taking of illegal documents in his house. And they came back saying basically he's an old man who has a bad memory and would be sympathetic to a jury, so I'm not going to charge him. And they say that's a political hit job by a Republican-appointed attorney. Now, all this stuff was true. They knew it, and she covered for him over and over again. Joe was sharp. He's on the money. No one can keep up with him behind the scenes. Are you okay with that? Get ready for the spin to start. Everyone to talk about Kamala Harris soon was held back by Joe Biden. Had great ideas, but it's not his administration. And the staffers iced her out. You just wait, I am sure. Elizabeth Hasselbeck was on last night. My old co-host from Fox and Friends. She was on with Sean Hannity, Cut 8.
That was not surprising to see by any means, because I know that table really well. And I want to commend you first, if I may, for reminding your viewers continuously since the 10-day-ago near assassination attempt on former President Trump, because the mainstream media is in manipulation mode right now. They don't want us talking about that. That's why the timing of this announcement, the text breakup from the election and proceedings going forward with Joe Biden, that's why this announcement came right now.
They want that off the front pages. So they want to talk about anything but the assassination attempt on Trump. Because he looks fantastic. He looked heroic. Those pictures of him standing up with the flag above him, with blood coming down his face, and then the successful RNC, they want to change the subject. Why? This is the story. Who scheduled that debate, number one? Number two, what happened that over the weekend he decides to quit, and he does it on Twitter, X, That is so unlike him. He does it without remarks. Why have we not seen him on camera? Now, I think possibly he's probably really sick. He's 81, not healthy. He gets COVID. He takes 6-7 Paxlovid injections or however you get it. And I think he's still a mess. He's going to be good enough to meet Benjamin Netanyahu on Thursday. I don't think it's a big conspiracy theory. But how they ultimately got him out is the story that needs to be told. And whose idea was that June debate? We thought that Trump walked into it by accepting on all their agreements. Had to be on CNN. They picked their own moderators. It had to be in a studio. There couldn't be any audience. Okay, no notes. All right. They got everything they wanted, and then Trump got his matchup, and he destroyed them. Biden imploded, and now they got themselves a new nominee. I'm not sure they wanted to be Harris, to be honest, but they got her. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show. When we come back, Congressman Kevin Hearn, and why I also don't believe they should go for the 25th Amendment, and then Congressman Michael Lawler. Brian Kilmeade Show.
Politics, current events, and news that affects you. Brian's got a lot more to say. Stay with Brian Kilmeade.
That is the sound of an expensive car repair about to happen. And to prevent breaking the bank with your out-of-warranty vehicle, you should call CarShield, America's number one automotive protection company. CarShield has helped save drivers big dollars on car repairs. Don't risk paying out of pocket for expensive repairs. For dollars a day, you can have protection coast to coast on up to 5,000 parts and systems. That's protection on your engine, transmission, entertainment system, plus so much more. And your plan also comes with 24/7 roadside assistance, courtesy towing, and rental options. Best of all, your rates will never go up as long as you cover your vehicle. That's money in the bank. All you have to do is call CarShield before a breakdown. Get protection on your car, truck, or SUV that comes with unlimited miles and the peace of mind you get with CarShield. Don't wait another minute. Call CarShield now. Call 800-204-0239. That's 800-204-0239.
A radio show like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade.
You were subpoenaed today to provide answers, and ma'am, you did not do that. He and I will be sending a letter requesting that you submit your resignation.
I will be joining the chairman in calling for the resignation of the director.
I'm of two minds. I think she's terrible. I think she's smug. I think she's arrogant. I'm talking about the Director Cheadle of the Secret Service. But I do want to get the answers to what happened. And I don't want her secluded somewhere, not answering any questions because she has nothing to lose. But yesterday, to show up and not answer any questions is absolutely unacceptable. And to give less to Congress than they gave to a network interview is sickening. Congressman Kevin Hearn joins us now of Oklahoma, chairman of the Republican Study Group. Bipartisan support to her resign, but that's unsatisfying for me, Congressman.
Well, it's certainly troubling to see what's happened. I called for her resignation early last week, when she said that she didn't put any Secret Service snipers on the roof because the roof was too steep. You knew then, and just in that statement, that she was incapable of doing her job. But, you know, this is a pattern with the Biden administration. All the people work for him. He's never held anyone accountable. If you look at her, obviously, this week, what she's doing, look at Mayorkas and the border issues there and immigration, Department of Justice. And, you know, now we have, you know, the presumptive Democrat nominee for the President of the United States, Kamala Harris, who he appointed from day one to be the border czar, and we've had the worst border in American history. This president never is going to hold anyone accountable, so why wouldn't she get in front of Congress and, you know, delay and lie and not answer questions because, you know, there's no accountability?
Well, I mean, in this case in particular, all you have to do is show up. Why don't you go to Butler, Pennsylvania, and see for yourself? Why don't you call your agents with you? Say, hey, I'm happy where you threw yourself, your body in front of the former president and the shooter. That takes great courage. That's what we train you to do. But who the hell left that building open? Why did you put that building outside the perimeter? And if it is outside the perimeter, then you open up the perimeter and put somebody on it. Now, there's reports there should have been someone on that perimeter. She lied about the slope. She did not know that the word is there was no ladder that they climbed up the air conditioner. So I mean, she didn't even keep up with the investigation that journalists are doing.
You know, Brian, I spent 35 years in business, and, you know, you see a problem, you fix a problem. From day one, Kamala Harris never would go to the border, nor would Joe Biden, to where the border was, you know, out of control, because they knew if they saw it, the American people would demand they fix it. And the same thing here with Cheadle. I mean, she's a former Secret Service employee, officer. She worked for Pepsi for, you know, 20 years or however many years it was as their national security issue. One has to wonder, you know, what did she do in order to get those jobs? Because clearly she didn't go to the site. You know, we had members of Congress go to the site to look at this and take pictures to see it from the angle, fly drones. You know, anybody that was competent knew what was going on. There were many, many pictures. Apparently, Crooks flew a drone over, you know, just literally a few hours before President Trump got there. So this is a real problem. She's got to go. You know, this would be like, you know, the greatest thing that Joe Biden ever did in his presidency would be to terminate her. But clearly he has no idea. In fact, the question might even be, is he even still alive? We have not seen him in 6 days. Where is he at? Why is he not commenting on this? I mean, his main opponent until, you know, the anointment of Kamala Harris, he's nowhere to be found. Is he really still alive? I mean, they've orchestrated COVID to get him out of the way. Who's running the country? That'll be the question for the American people. Who is running the country, the most powerful nation on this planet? And people around the world are asking the same question, I'm sure, not in a positive way.
Right. He does not show up for the Prime Minister Netanyahu's arrival. Okay, you're sick. The Vice President should show up. The Secretary of State should show up. It's totally disrespecting on one of our key allies in the entire world. I thought he was Mr. Foreign Policy. Those years of experience are not panning out for America. So Senator J.D. Vance, who's now the vice presidential nominee, said this about what Kamala knew about his disintegrating mind. Cut 17.
She signed up for every single one of Joe Biden's failures, and she lied about his mental capacity to serve as president. Our country has been saddled for 3.5 years with a president who cannot do the job.
Right. You feel the same way?
I do. I mean, again, this is not an easy job. And if he's not capable of running for office, yet he says he can go out and campaign for her, how is that possible? I mean, who's running the country? And you know, is it the same, you know, Democrat, you know, behind the scenes, the dark groups that are out there pushing him around, that have been pushing him around for using him as a puppet for the last 3.5 years? I mean, remember, he ran his campaign for president out of the basement of his house. I mean, who does this in America today? Who considers that a strong leader? And she's worse than he is on the liberal policies. I mean, again, she's for wide open borders. She's pro Hamas. She's for Gaza. She wants Israel to stand down. And to your point, you know, she is not going out and greeting. She pre-planned a meeting so that she couldn't be here to represent the senators in the joint meeting today, or tomorrow, rather. And so when you look at all this, this is a troubling time for leadership in America. And again, our adversaries around the world, Putin, Xi Jinping, Kim Jong-un, the Ayatollahs of Iran, they're all looking at this and saying, America is weak. We've known they're weak, and now we see they're weak. And we have a president that's hiding now. We don't even know if he's still around. We've got to get behind this. We've got to know what's going on. I think Democrats are coming to their senses in the House when they're calling for her resignation, and that's the first step. We all have to come together.
Do you want to see him 25th Amendment out?
I think it would be the right thing to do. Now, you know, we're going to get her, who's very weak, possibly, but certainly a lot of people are calling for that. You know, I want to point out that, you know, the people who are around him, when you're in the, you know, you're in the same party as the president, and you're in Congress or in the, you know, yeah, the Senate, you're around the presidents a lot. We as Republicans are around President Trump a lot. We knew him behind the scenes. All these Democrats that are now calling for him to step down have been around Joe Biden since the moment he got elected.
And they knew about it the whole time, Congressman Hearn, and they said not a thing until now.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
You were subpoenaed today to provide answers, and ma'am, you did not do that. He and I will be sending a letter requesting that you submit your resignation.
I will be joining the chairman in calling for the resignation of the director.
So Can you believe it? Jamie Raskin and James Comer believe one thing, that this director of Secret Service should be fired, who seems disinterested in finding out any facts of the case, leaving it all to the FBI. Congressman Mike Laurel joins us now, foreign affairs as well as financial services. Congressman, I know you weren't in on the hearing, but your thoughts about what came out of it.
Hey, Brian, thanks for having me. Well, obviously, the director was unable to answer major questions that need to be answered. And I think there was broad bipartisan consensus that she needs to go. At the end of the day, the fact that this was allowed to happen under her watch is absolutely unconscionable, given the stakes and given, obviously, the situation in which, you know, we're almost 100 days away from an election. And, you know, they failed in their number one responsibility to ensure the safety and well-being of those in their protection. And in this case, former President Trump, that a young man was able to get on top of that roof and have a clean line of sight at the former president, the campaign not notified, the Secret Service allowing him to take the stage, even though she acknowledges that this individual was suspicious and that they couldn't find him. It really is unconscionable that this was allowed to happen.
So what I always find fascinating is when Democrats, you know, the Democrats, they give their stance, they're against guns. And then they had to just use that to say, well, you only care when the president gets shot. What about everybody else in schools? Okay, point not taken, because it's the wrong forum for that. But Congressman Stephen Lynch was serious. Cut 27.
Did he have a range finder? There were some reports that the individual had a range finder. That would certainly raise my suspicion. Did he have a range finder?
Yes, he did. But may I explain that at a number of our sites, especially when you're at outdoor venues, a rangefinder is not a prohibited item. It is sometimes an item that is brought in by individuals
that are going to be in the back. Anybody confront him on that? Anybody ask him questions? What are you doing with the rangefinder? Anybody confront him on his presence where he was in proximity to the president?
So again, to my knowledge, I believe that was the process that was taking place, was to locate the individual.
Did they confront him? Did they go up to him? Did they talk to him?
I do not have those details at this time.
Those are important details.
Why come to how? Number one, is she telling the truth? Number two is, how could you not know that? How could you not sit there and go, wait a second, what's the protocol? How did you let him in? Where did he hide the gun? How did he get on the roof? Why are you making up stories about the roof being sloped? Why is that building outside the perimeter? Well, who was in charge? Who signed off on that security, the advance plan? She wouldn't answer anything. Now, it doesn't mean she doesn't have the answers. What is the reason then?
Oh, look, she was as evasive as one could be, given the fact that in her opening statement, she said that she takes full responsibility and wants to provide answers. I've never seen anything like it. Given the severity of the situation, the most basic, simple questions that she was asked, she refused to give answers to. And I don't think it's a function of her being stupid or ill-prepared. I think she chose to be evasive. And obviously, yes, there are investigations underway, but these are basic questions that the American people deserve answers to. People should know whether or not this individual was questioned. People should know how far in advance that the Secret Service detail on the president knew that there was a suspicious person. People should understand exactly why there was not a counter sniper on that roof. And for her to claim, oh, it was a sloped roof. Are you kidding me? The roof that the two counter snipers were on behind the president were even more sloped than that one. So it made absolutely no sense what she was saying at any point over the last 10 days. And, you know, frankly, my colleague Pat Fallon said it best. Go back to protecting Cheetos and Doritos, because this lady clearly is not up to the task of protecting the former president or, frankly, the current president.
And she denied him extra protection. We know that for a fact. The Washington Post confirmed what Congressman Walz said on our air on Friday. Mayorkas excoriated Walz, saying it's irresponsible to say something so inaccurate. The Washington Post says we had four different sources saying we rejected Trump's request for more Secret Service, which is a bigger problem. You know, you got family members, Melania in a separate place often, the president constantly on the move. So he said, my guys are working 20 hours a day. They don't get a day off. We need more guys. And they said no.
And Brian, this is exactly why today, this morning, Congressman Richie Torres, a Democrat from the Bronx, and myself introduced legislation to require that the Secret Service provide the same level of protection for President Trump, for RFK, for Vice President Harris, as they do for President Biden. This is absolutely unconscionable that in a time of political division, in a time when we've seen political violence on the rise, that the Secret Service would deny requests for increased security, knowing full well that there were threats against President Trump. And as well, you look at obviously the dynamic going on where, you know, he was just in a New York City courtroom and you saw the level of protection by the NYPD to ensure the safety and well-being of the former president down in lower Manhattan. This is really something that the Secret Service needs to take serious. If they did not have the resources, then they should have been banging down the door of Congress funding it. And so the bill that I'm putting forward would not only require that the Secret Service do an immediate evaluation of the level of detail, but also provide for the same enhanced security measures for the president, for all presidential candidates, and it would appropriate the funds to do so.
All right. A couple of things I want to talk to you about still. Kamala Harris is now the head of the ticket, and it looks like Joe Biden's stepping aside mysteriously after saying, I'm not going anywhere. Said, I'm going to, he had a big schedule all lined up. He's going to campaign. Next time we hear the president, it was yesterday, in calling into Wilmington, the site of Kamala Harris's election headquarters. She just took it from Joe Biden. Cut one.
I know yesterday's news was surprising. And it's hard for you to hear, but it was the right thing to do. I know it's hard because you poured your heart and soul into me. Said, help us win this thing. Help me get this nomination. Help me win the nomination and then go on to win the presidency. But, you know, you're an amazing team, but we've got a great, great. I think we made the right decision.
We made the right decision. What do you think happened here?
Well, what happened is pretty clear. Nancy Pelosi shivved him in the back. There's no question that the Democrats disregarded the will of 14.6 million Democratic Party primary voters because they were concerned about their electoral chances, not only in the White House, but concerned about their electoral chances down ballot. And so they did everything they could to ramp up pressure and force Joe Biden out. And, you know, obviously all of us saw that debate. It was very clear that he would be unable to fulfill another 4-year term, let alone run for one. But this is a problem of the Democrats' own making. They gaslit the entire country for well over a year about his cognitive abilities. The media went right along with it, basically denouncing any Republican that raised question about Joe Biden's capabilities. And now we see where we are. But the ultimate point to me is nothing changes. Kamala Harris owns the Biden agenda. She was hook, line, and sinker with everything this administration did. As a member of the United States Senate, she was to the left of Bernie Sanders. You look at her record on the border, tasked with dealing with the crisis. Over 10 million migrants crossed our southern border, most of them illegally under her watch. So, you know, they can change out the top of the ticket, but it doesn't change the policies. And at the end of the day, that's why Donald Trump is in the position that he's in heading into November with 3.5 months to go.
So, listen, we have to remember that they didn't like her, that President Biden was not even using her, that she had nothing on her agenda most of the time, that only 5 original staffers are left of the 41 she hired. That the Washington Post had a story 2 years ago that she's impossible to work for, that she doesn't read any of her background material. And that even came out on CNN. Listen to Jamie Raskin just last year. Cut three.
I actually think it's a pretty simple question. Do you think Kamala Harris is the best running mate for President Biden? Yes or no?
I mean, I don't know what else I can say other than she
would
be
yes.
An excellent running mate and an excellent vice president.
Here's Nancy Pelosi. Cut two.
Is Vice President Kamala Harris the best running mate for this president?
He thinks so, and that's what matters. And by the way,
you think so?
She's very politically astute. I don't think people give her enough credit.
But do you think she is the best running mate, though?
She's the vice president of the United States. So when people say to me, well, why isn't she doing this or that? I say, because she's the vice president. That's the job description. You don't do that much.
Do you think that's an endorsement for a vice president, let alone we're supposed to believe that she should be president?
Listen, three-plus weeks ago, you had Democrats and members of the media basically saying they don't think Kamala Harris would be able to win. But after the pressure campaign and after the disastrous performance of Joe Biden over the last 3 weeks, this is all they have left. And so they're rallying around her, and they're going to do everything they can to make it appear as though that she is up to the task. But we know, based on watching her over the last 3.5 years, that she isn't. You know, she is not prepared to do this job effectively. Her policy preferences and positions are far to the left. And I don't see very much changing here in terms of her ability to persuade the middle. You know, we saw her presidential campaign. She came in on high hopes and then basically plummeted down to 1% because her performance on the campaign trail was not very effective.
So the president of the United States, the former president of the United States, is appealing now back in New York appellate court to say overturned the $500 million penalty that cost him $150 million for a bond. And he have 106 pages to show why it should be overturned. What should the country know about the New York court system?
Well, sadly, the New York court system has been corrupted by Democrats. If you look at what they did with the Court of Appeals, forcing out the former Chief Justice, Janet DeFiore, because they were angry about her decision on redistricting. They then put in place Rowan Wilson, who is far to the left. They appointed Caitlin Halligan, forced her to recuse herself on another redistricting matter. Also, they could get a court ruling that was to their benefit, so they thought. But at the end of the day, this is the sad thing about New York and one-party rule. And, you know, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that's what we've seen in New York, unfortunately, under one-party Democratic rule.
Unfortunately, yeah, that's what people should know. Now the other court with Juan Merchan, Congressman, we're talking to Congressman Larry in New York, with Juan Merchan, he's been asked to reevaluate his decision now that the Supreme Court ruled on presidential immunity. Do you have any sense of where that'll go, even though he has been vehemently anti-Trump from day one?
Obviously, he delayed the sentencing, and so I'm sure he is reviewing the motion. Clearly, based on the Supreme Court decision with respect to absolute immunity on official acts cannot be used as evidence in furtherance of a crime that certainly would be charged on non-official acts. And so, you know, we'll see how this shakes out. I think the sentencing was delayed until September, you know, but Brian, it has been a crazy 2 months in American politics. If you look at obviously the conviction and 34 counts, the disastrous debate performance by Joe Biden, the assassination attempt against Donald Trump, and then Joe Biden withdrawing, coupled in with the Supreme Court ruling on absolute immunity and the ruling down in Florida. You know, we have 3.5 months to go. As has always been said, a month is a lifetime in politics. And obviously, we've seen that play out over the last two.
Congressman Lawler, you have a tight race in New York, always just being a Republican in New York. Do you think President Trump should put resources into New York, that he actually has a shot at it?
Well, look, New York is going to be the deciding factor once again on control of the House. And, you know, my district is a district Joe Biden won by 10 points. There's 80,000 more Democrats than Republicans. It's going to be critical for Republicans that we keep these seats. And so obviously The better President Trump does in New York, the better we will do in all of these competitive congressional seats. And so certainly they should be investing resources. The NRCC is, the RNC is. But, you know, Joe Biden won New York by 23 points in 2020. Recent polling has it down to single digits. Obviously, we'll see with Kamala Harris now on the ticket, you know, how that goes. But if you have that significant of a gap right. closure, then obviously, you know, in all these competitive congressional seats, it's going to matter.
Go get him. Congressman Mike Lawler in New York. Thanks so much, Congressman.
Thanks, Brian. Take care.
You got it. Listen, when we come back, we'll be able to squeeze in some calls, we hope. Also, the latest on Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu doesn't get a Secretary of State, Vice President, or President to show up when he lands. That's unacceptable for our primary ally in this world. Don't move.
Newsmakers and newsbreakers. Hear it first on the Brian Kilmeade Show. If you're interested in it, Brian's talking about it. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Definitely being a kid, we all come from, you know, different walks of life, different cities, different upbringings. I think the last thing on our mind we'll ever have is carrying a flag representing our country during the Olympics. So it was never a thought, it was never a dream, but it's an absolute honor. And to be able to share that moment with you guys, it's going to make it even more memorable. I appreciate it, man. Team USA has given so much to all of us, to me over the last 20 years. And I understand right now in a country that's so divided, I hope this moment and that moment will, you know, unite us or bring us together.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to the Olympics this year. LeBron James is now going to be one of the people holding the flag for the American team coming in. He has not had the most positive things to say about this country. He had a hell of an upbringing, tough situation, but he's been rich and famous since he was 14, 15 years old. So I think this country's given him a lot, and he does work hard for everything he's gotten. He just has never been as beloved as the Michael Jordans, of Larry Birds, of the Magic Johnsons. It's just something about his character, although what he's done in the league has been phenomenal. Also, if you notice Team USA, they are not playing well. They are barely winning these exhibition games. It doesn't matter, but when you struggle against South Sudan, there's a reason to worry for Steve Kerr and the guys. But I'll be watching. Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't forget, see me in Stroudsburg this Saturday night at 7 o'clock, BrianKilmeade.com, Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania.
News radio studios in Midtown Manhattan. It's the fastest growing radio talk show. Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Welcome from 48th and 6th in Midtown Manhattan, heard around the country, around the world. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. I'm thrilled to be here at a time in which we've never had a news cycle like this ever. And, you know, we didn't have 24-hour news in the 1960s, but it must have been crazy. The assassination of JFK, Medgar Evers first, JFK, then you have RFK, Martin Luther King, LBJ, I'm not running, then the Vietnam War raging. People begin to say, I don't want to go to the and burning their draft cards. We know that must have been crazy if you had a 24-hour news cycle. But this, thankfully, without the violence and without the war, is crazier. Because, number one, people are trying to put things over on us and act as if we don't understand what's going on. We're not buying it, and I'll explain to that in a moment. And the other thing that's happening is, in 4 months, the country will make a huge choice, and it will design and decide what direction we're going to head. So with that, I'll tell you what we have coming up this hour. We're going to have on Varney & Company, we're going to do a simulcast with Alan West. He's going to bring us the latest from Texas, as well as Jason Chaffetz standing by. Let's get to the big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three.
Number three.
I know yesterday's news was surprising, and it was hard for you to hear, but it was the right thing to do. But, you know, you're an amazing team, but we've got a great, great, I think we made the right decision.
Really? We made the right decision? I thought, Joe, you weren't going to go, but you did go. And where are you now? Did you have a choice, Joe? Story in the New York Post today say that basically Nancy Pelosi gave him no choice. Get out or will 25th Amendment you? No joke, Jack.
Number two.
You were subpoenaed today to provide answers, and ma'am, you did not. He and I will be sending a letter requesting that you submit your resignation.
I will be joining the chairman in calling for the resignation of the director.
Bipartisan outrage. The secret is out. The Secret Service director is a national embarrassment, and both parties agree she needs to be fired after her smug, arrogant testimony on Capitol Hill as questions surge about the assassination attempt on Trump.
Number one.
All of this is to say building up the middle class will be a defining goal of my presidency. We know that's not the future Donald Trump is fighting for.
Change at the top. Democrats rally around deeply flawed and unaccomplished Vice President Kamala Harris to take on Trump as Biden phones in his support. Literally, we put it all in perspective. I'm going to try anyway. Jason Chaffetz joins us now. Congressman, you've seen a lot. And I can't say that Joe Biden bowing out was something we weren't expecting at some point, or it was going to be the worst loss in the history of this country. But the way it happened and the way he was so emphatic that it wouldn't lead you to believe we do not know much of this story yet.
Well, this is bizarre, and I think it goes back to the idea that they had the earliest debate in the history of debates. Like, who set that up? Who did that? It's almost as if they set up Joe Biden to fail. I think they thought that maybe the State of the Union wasn't going to go so well, and then he did all right. And then the NATO speech, yeah, you know, he did enough to get along, even though he made some major mistakes. But I think the heart of this goes back to that debate. I think they knew he was going to do so poorly. Rather than do that in September, hey, let's do that in June. And now you see the fruits of that.
Congressman, a couple of things are going on. You know, the New York Post has a story today that they did good cop, bad cop with Schumer. And Schumer went up 8 days ago and gave him a hug and said, listen, it's time to go. Think about it for a couple of days. And then behind the scenes, Speaker Pelosi was calling up constantly saying, look at the polls. You can't win. You need to get out. And then finally they said, you have to get out now. And they really gave him no choice to go out. If you want to save your legacy, if you want to save Congress, this is what you're going to be remembered as. So he was finally forced out. I also think we don't know the whole story. The Wall Street Journal has a story today that chronicles how many times he has failed behind the scenes. 2021, the infrastructure deal they need to present to Democrats on why they need the $1 trillion. He was so meandering and so off point. Speaker Pelosi had to get up and save the presentation. That was 2021, 2023. They reduced his schedule overseas in 5 days to just two meetings. Other diplomats were shocked by this. And then Ukraine in the winter meeting, he spoke so low in meeting in the winter that people couldn't even understand what he was talking about. And then we find out at the NATO summit, people were looking at him overseas and saying they can't believe how much he's been diminished. All these stories emerging. And the Wall Street Journal writes in great detail of this today. As a country, if you're a member of that party and that's your president, where's the Barry Goldwater who stood up to Nixon and said, Richard, you got to go? There was none of that on the left.
No.
Except Dean Phillips.
We've known this for a long, long time. This isn't like something suddenly happened. This has been something that the leaders, Jill Biden, the family, they've all known this for quite some time. It is a national embarrassment. For a party that was preaching, hey, we're going to save democracy. You can't elect Donald Trump. We got to save democracy. You're totally disenfranchised if you're a rank-and-file Democrat. Why did your vote totally not matter? They didn't want to go through that voting process. They just wanted the party elites to hand-picked.
Is that a big deal? I mean, in the big picture, I mean, you have 14 million people said Joe Biden's the guy. They made sure RFK, nobody challenged him. And then in 24 hours, Kamala, the vice president, is the new nominee. Well, is that a big deal if you're a Democrat?
Well, I think so. Look, she's the least popular vice president that we've had in modern times. She's accomplished absolutely nothing. You didn't see the Democrats. Come on. Were they really that excited to have Kamala Harris leading the top of the ticket? And why not allow for some sort of debate, maybe some sort of process to go through? But yeah, she's wrapped this all up. And I thought it was interesting how slow the endorsements came out the door. I mean, I guess Obama's behind her at this point. But man, it was sort of a tepid
Well, you know what? I actually feel differently. I thought she, the one thing I got to give her credit, I can't believe how she consolidated power, made hundreds of calls, had 23 governors by the time I got up on Monday, had over 100 congressmen. And then by the end of the day, Pelosi had no choice but to go along with this. I'm sure she was not the choice, but nobody else wanted any part of it. And what I think she did, Congressman Jason Chaffetz, is that I think she said, listen, I'm going to put you on the VP shortlist. Yeah. So you thought to yourself, do I really want to go challenge her and lose and, you know, worry about the establishment of the party, doing a Tim Ryan with me the rest of my career?
Well, look, if you are a party that has based its future based on identity politics, I don't think there was any way they were going to jump over the sitting vice president of the United States. I'm just saying the whole process, it just stinks to high heaven. Because what they should have done, Joe Biden should have done this a year ago. He should have been taking a victory lap this year. And that was the deal. That was the promise that he made to the American people and to the Democrats when he first started, is he was going to make the transition. But they didn't do that. It was a closed process. They deemed him the nominee in Florida. They want to do a virtual roll call vote. I mean, this is really the party that wants to save democracy? Never mind, Democrats. You don't get to vote in this process.
So Kamala Harris made it clear, not only is she going to take over, she's taking over the exact same office, same people. Everybody stays in place. Maybe she'll make some changes. I'm sure she doesn't want to go to Delaware eventually, but she wants to say, I'm just taking over. The bumper stickers were changed. The door on the name of the door is changed. And you have Joe Biden calling in from some remote location. Bizarre, like it's Charlie's Angels in 1978. And here is Kamala Harris going after Trump as if the speech was already loaded in the prompter weeks ago. Cut 35.
Before I was elected as vice president, before I was elected as United States Senator, I was the elected attorney general, as I've mentioned, of California. And before that, I was a courtroom prosecutor. In those roles, I took on perpetrators of all kinds. Predators who abused women, fraudsters who ripped off consumers, cheaters who broke the rules for their own gain. So hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type.
So your thought about she's going to continue to say, I'm the prosecutor and he's the convicted felon.
Well, she's also the one that was out bailing people out of jail as quickly as possible. Literally months before she was, the vice president, she was out there raising money. She believes, evidently, I guess, in cashless bail, and she does not have a good prosecution record. In fact, she has like nothing on her record. I mean, 3.5 years as vice president, name one thing that she did. I mean, the border, artificial intelligence, there's nothing on her resume that she's accomplished. And I think one of the more telling things, Brian, is her staff. She has something like a 92% turnover of staff. I mean, you can go online pretty quickly and find out that, you know, working in the White House for the Vice President of the United States, pretty prestigious job. There's only 4 people that are still with her. She is a tyrant behind the stage, totally unorganized, doesn't know what she's doing. And you had people dropping like flies left and right. And you read the quotes from her former staff. She is not a pleasant person.
All right. So here's what Reince Priebus predicted. Cut 12.
Kamala Harris said that all of the us that were saying that Joe Biden's age was an issue that was politically motivated. This is all politically motivated. It's an affront to the party. These two parties are private organizations. And the delegates of these parties decide who the nominee is going to be. And when you have an open convention, it's up to the delegates to decide. And I have a prediction. What's going to happen here is that this honeymoon's going to be over. And before you know it, Kamala Harris is going to be in the exact same spot that Joe Biden is in. And the Democrats are going to be freaking out again because they've got a candidate that can't beat Donald Trump.
Do you think that? I don't. I think that they're going to try to prop her up, say she's revolutionary, earth-shaking, ceiling-shattering, and they're going to make us give us short-term memory loss. Do you think Reince Priebus is right?
In part. Reince is awfully smart on these types of things. I think her, but I'm a little bit more with you on the fact that I think her honeymoon, with the support of the traditional so-called mainstream media will prop her up and highlight her as if she was just, you know, is something that she's never, ever been. Remember, when she first ran for president, things were going great. She was leading. She raised a bunch of money. And then she started talking and cackling. And guess what? People figured out that she was really bad, and she was polling eighth in California. She was behind Andrew Yang, for goodness sake, had to drop out before they even started taking the votes. That's how Democrats viewed her back then. Nothing's changed. Right. She's doing an even worse job.
So Speaker Johnson, I know you're a fan of, is now speaking, demanding that she'll resign. And as I mentioned, one of the sound bites I had, Jamie Raskin feels the same way. Almost every Jared Moskowitz feels the same way, the Democrat from Florida. So it's bipartisan. Her answers yesterday were so insufficient and so smug and so arrogant. And she has no answers or chooses not to answer any questions about how the president's life became within a quarter inch of going away. Your thoughts about her resignation, how does this play out?
Oh, she should have been fired. I mean, her resignation should have been tendered, but she should have been fired and still should be. But unfortunately, we got a president who's paying absolutely no attention.
Let everyone at home hear a little of the exchanges here. Now, keep in mind, this is Comer and this is Raskin and this is Grothman. Listen.
At any point Saturday, did the Secret Service have an agent on top of that roof?
Sir, I'm sure, as you can imagine, that we are just 9 days out from this incident. And there's still an ongoing investigation. And so I want to make sure that any information that we are providing
you can't. Okay. Why did the Secret Service not? Can you answer why the Secret Service didn't place a single agent on the roof?
We are still looking into the advanced process and the decisions that were made.
How can a 20-year-old with his father's AR-15 assault weapon climb onto a roof with a direct 150-yard line of sight to the speaker's podium without the Secret Service or local police stopping him?
So again, sir, I will say we are 9 days out from this event, and I would like to know those answers as well.
When this guy took the shots, he climbed a ladder to get on the roof, correct?
I'm unable to answer details of exactly how the individual accessed the roof at this time.
You've been in that situation so often, Jason. Where do you go from here when you have somebody that needs to talk and is refusing to?
Well, she's under oath. I think she was on the border of being in contempt. If she knows the answers to some of these questions, she must answer. She's there under subpoena. Imagine how our world or in our courts would work if you were asked a direct question and then you simply said, well, you know, that's a hard question. I'm not going to answer that right now. Our system would totally fall down. So I think she could have and should have been held in contempt. Nevertheless, imagine after 9/11, Brian, if we said, oh, you know what, there needs to be an investigation. We can't take any action. I really don't know what happened yet, and we're going to have to complete that investigation before we do anything. The president and Congress have to act now. Their protectees are in obvious danger now, and you have a director who is unengaged, she's just unbelievable in her lack of knowledge about this, goes to Aspen as opposed to going to the site. I just don't understand where her priorities are, and it's scary because the reason it's bipartisan is the Secret Service works for both Democrats and Republicans, and I have zero confidence in her. And I think Democrats are scared. They got Kamala Harris now rising to be the nominee of her party. Do you think there's confidence that they know how to protect a woman who's obviously going to be a target of a lot of death threats? It is a scary moment for
us. Keep in mind, Joe Biden was on that list, on this idiot's list, this killer's list, and so is Merrick Garland. So they know it's not a Republican thing. And we know how great those agents are. And that's why they deserve better leadership.
This was not a stealthy moment. There was nothing creative.
I know. Congressman, thanks so much. You need more oversight than ever, and that's what you used to do. Jason Chaffetz, thank you. When we come back, your calls, bottom of the hour, Alan West, then a simulcast with Varney and Company. We have it here. Don't move.
Expanding your knowledge base. It's the Brian Kilmeade Show. Radio that makes you think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
President Biden decided to drop out of the 2024 presidential race. It is a historic move. Typically on Sundays, everyone thinks about quitting their job, but Biden is the first person to actually go through with it. I quit.
There's another one, Eric and Allison. He actually goes on to talk about the vice presidential nominee. For some reason, I watched the Tonight Show replay this morning. That was a good joke. So now you might be able to watch the late night shows. I can't watch Colbert. It's just that's basically a rally for Democrats. But Jimmy Fallon actually can be entertaining. I miss James Corden because he would do a couple of funny jokes there. But Jimmy Kimmel never say anything negative. But I look at Jimmy Kimmel and George Clooney, two guys hosting this fundraiser, were willing to collect the money for Joe Biden, not say a word. But they had the debate afterwards when he fell apart. Then that was the problem. But they all were looking to look the other way, all of them. And it was the polls and that performance that made them make a decision. Also, it's written in the Wall Street Journal, and I thought logic brought of all of us there, that he was supposed to, in 2022, say, I'm not running again. But the red wave never happened. It was because of abortion and Roe v. Wade being overturned. And there was a big rally in certain states in order for them to come back, and they end up keeping the Senate, barely losing the House. So Joe Biden says, look, I'm doing great. Look at all the stuff I passed. I'm sticking around. He shouldn't have.
Breaking news, unique opinions. Hear it all on the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Well, here we go. And she is gone. It looks like the Secret Service Director, Kimberly Cheadle, is resigning after the assassination attempt on President Trump a week from this past Saturday. So no doubt about it. It was one of the most embarrassing, insulting displays of a committee hearing that I've ever witnessed. So frustrating. So disinterested was Cheadle. Even if she was interested, her demeanor was smug, arrogant, as I mentioned. And she is now out. And that is just minutes after a press conference held by Speaker Johnson demanding that she resign. Raskin said she resigned. Moskowitz said she could resign. Everyone said she should resign. My thing is, I want answers more than I care about her future. And I just know those agents who first thing they see is bullets. They throw themselves in front of President Trump. I don't want them diminished. I want people to be prideful that they work for the Secret Service and demand better leadership. And when you go and do an advance and you decide that building's okay and the perimeter should be where it is, and you could have people pass through a metal detector, and they are able to get through a pathfinder. We're able to see, and you ask people, when you ask people, did you ask any questions about it? He goes, no, it's not on the prohibited list. And they find out that they could stash a gun, reportedly, there. And they could fly a drone 6 hours before the president goes there. And you can't have a drone when the president's on stage or before he gets on stage. You have a suspicious person 45 minutes before the president's scheduled to take the stage in that field in Butler, and you don't keep the president out, you don't follow up with that guy, your way of stopping an attack is wait for the bullets to fly and then kill the guy. And then we find out it wasn't an easy shot. It was a one in a million shot. Do you realize if we didn't have such a great sniper to take this shooter out, he had four of the magazines there, and he had a cell phone that they believe was a detonator to blow up his car, which was full of explosives. Think how much worse that could have been. Let alone the president's life on the line within a millimeter of having his brains blown out instead of an ear shot off. Lieutenant Colonel Alan West joins us now, Dallas County Republican chairperson. Colonel, your instant reaction to this breaking news.
Well, it had to happen. I mean, as you just stated, that was the most condescending and offensive performance of an individual there before a House committee, which has oversight. And the continue, I don't have the answers. I cannot answer that. I'm not prepared. I mean, a president, a former president, and the leading candidate for a presidency almost lost his life, as you said, and you can't be that flippant. And I recall that insidious response you gave, that we didn't have anyone on the rooftop because it was too slanted. I mean, what kind of director would make that type of response to an inquiry about why they did not cover that rooftop? But I believe, Brian, without a doubt, that they had to force her to step down because they cannot continue to have this as a looming issue going into this election cycle. And she was clearly the face of that. So maybe now what they think is, you know, the temperature will tamp down and we can move on beyond it. But we still need to have answers.
Yeah, I like this. Very simple. Who did the advance? What was their thinking? Mm-hmm. Can I speak to them? Let them come up. I'm not the expert. You know, you probably are. But I'm not the expert. I've never secured any VIP. All right. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to learn why it's okay for a sniper to get on the roof of a building. So was it a mistake? What is the mistake? That the perimeter was too close? Or that that wasn't part of the surveillance apparatus? I mean, Eli Crane, a former Navy sniper, said, I'm sitting here on top of the roof. There is no slope, barely a slope. And he says, I look behind me. There's a water tower. He said, right away, I'm on that water tower. And number two is, of course, if this 20-year-old who got cut from the JV rifle team can show up and fly a drone at 10 in the morning for an event that's supposed to be at 6 o'clock at night, how could we not afford a drone that you used to be able to get at a Radio Shack when they were open and do it ourselves? I'm not asking to arm the drone. I'm asking to use it for surveillance. I mean, they have Fox Sports has got 20 drones. We have drones at the border.
Yeah. What does that say about the most powerful nation in the world? They couldn't afford to have a drone out there to protect a former president. And that, like you said, a 20-year-old went out there and was able to fly aerial reconnaissance and surveillance. You know, what needs to happen is someone needs to have the Secret Service walk through their checklist that goes from 48 hours out all the way down to the point of the president taking the stage and talk about the actions that were taken, talk about the actions that should have been taken. That's the level of specificity that needs to happen.
That would be great. I mean, so he's gone, but this is the problem. We need thorough surveillance. Number two is when I was watching, I watched a lot of it, almost more than I normally can in the afternoon. Most Americans are busy in the afternoon. So she says you have 8,000 agents. He goes, yes. So the question is, how many do you need? It's like, well, you were here a year and a half ago. You said you need more agents. He goes, yes. What do you got? 8,000. Is that enough? Total silence. He says, what would you prefer? I need 9,000. 9,200 or something. Okay. When are we going to say that? I mean, why shouldn't that be a priority? This is what I would have done. Here's what went wrong. After going out and seeing the scene myself with the agent that was in charge, in those 9 days, I made the effort to go do that in that Butler Field, like the 70-year-old Jimenez, Congressman Jimenez, won on the roof himself. Yeah. Right? These guys want to see themselves. So just to be able to ask a good question. So I would have went out with Navy SEALs. I would have found out who retired guys and would be able to come with me and just go out and do it. Then get everyone there. And then when I went in front of Congress to say, I'm responsible, I'm going to tell you what happened, what I know, and then you decide if you think I should say. I've been doing this 30 years. I like to fix this. You don't want me to fix it. I understand it. I feel like I failed. But I will answer your questions. And then you let me know. And then if you had asked for resources and been rejected in the past, if you asked for more agents and been rejected in the past, I want that part of your testimony. Because the American people need to see the whole picture.
Yeah, but the thing is that's something that an honorable person would have done. That's something that a person that believes that they're accountable to the American people would have done. I think that Kimberly Cheadle showed up and said, you know what, I'll survive this. I'll get through this because guess what? No one else in the Biden administration has been fired. And on top of that, when you have an administration that has not had a cabinet meeting since October of last year, they don't know what's going on. They don't know who's on first, what's on second. I don't know who's on third. It's a comedy skit that is going on, and no one has been held accountable for the Afghanistan debacle and failures, all the many other things we have seen. So she figured she could skip right by, to include the border travesty that we see going on. But without a doubt, her obtuse attitude and her belligerence, I think it worked against her yesterday. And as I said, I think the Democrats really put the pressure on her, not because of a failure of protocols, but because of the politics behind it. But for whatever reason, I'm still glad that they did.
All right. We also know this because I worked over the weekend. We had he had cell phones. He had encrypted messages to three separate countries, Germany, Belgium, and New Zealand. Now, he's a gamer. I was asking people that are gamers. They go, yeah, you do play against other countries, but I don't think they're not on those sites, not on those platforms. They didn't want to reveal them yet. So President Trump was briefed by Cheadle, and to his credit, he's laying back. Cut 29.
Are you at all suspicious he had help?
Well, you just don't know. He doesn't. It doesn't look like it, does it? But now we're finding out that he had some encrypted phone numbers and to foreign countries, which a little bit surprises me. When you look at him, he was somebody that was bullied in school, and, you know, you hear all different stories. I would say probably he was a loner, but you don't know that. They have to check out the phone numbers. They have to check out the phone. But it just shouldn't have been when you have essentially a flat, open roof like that, and it's direct to the target with absolutely nothing in its way. How can somebody be up there? And he was up there for a long period of time because they have tape of him moving all over the place. And then they see him and they don't report him.
So are you amazed how calm he is?
Well, I think that that shows the increased level of discipline that we've seen in President Trump going from, you know, 2015 to today. He does not need to get out there and be speculative or subjective. He needs to make sure that he is speaking from a position of the moral high ground and having the facts. And that is, I think, the level of maturity you've seen him grow into in this position, having been a president, having run for the presidency and running for the presidency once again. So I think you have to give him kudos for that and not being emotional, but again, being very, you know, level-headed and very forthright in answering right. that question, because someone could have just gone off and said, yeah, I know.
So real quick, we had 20 seconds. Do you think that Kamala Harris was a DEI hire? Is that a correct way to describe her?
So without a doubt, Kamala Harris is all about identity politics, and identity politics is going to come back and haunt the Democrat Party going into this election cycle, because she owns the policies of the Biden administration, because she's part of the Biden administration, and nothing's going to change.
He said, I need a woman. I need a minority woman. That narrowed down his pick, and he ends up picking her. The president basically said he's a DEI hire, but the left is all offended by that description. Sorry. Yell at the president, the current president, for now. All right, Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, thanks so much. Breaking news, Kimberly Cheadle is out. She's resigned as director of the Secret Service. Thank goodness.
Now, the Brian Kilmeade Show joins Fox Business's Varney & Company with Stuart Varney, live on your radio and on Fox Business. Here's Brian Kilmeade.
Here you go. We have the breaking news. The Secret Service Director Kimberly Cheadle, who embarrassed herself in the country yesterday with a ridiculous lack of explanations on what led to the near death of Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States. We hadn't needed a lot of answers. She had no interest in it, kept referring back to the FBI. She has just resigned. And that is exactly what the speaker has asked for. That's exactly what a lot of Democrats, including Jamie Raskin, the ranking member on the Oversight Committee, asked for. And I'm about to go on the air with Stuart Varney, so let me listen
10:51 Eastern Time, that means Brian Kilmeade joins us. All right, Brian, White House Dr. Kevin O'Connor gave an update, about Biden's health following his COVID. He claims Biden's vitals are absolutely normal. Kamala Harris also said Biden's feeling much better. I want to see the president. I want to know if he's capable of running the country, because is there something of a cover-up going on here about Biden's true state?
A couple of things, Stuart. I think he's coming back to the White House this afternoon. That's what I heard from our reporter. Okay, well, so I guess we'll see him. He's going to eventually address his situation and his decision. But the story's behind the scenes. You know what he was saying. I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. Look at my schedule. I'll sit down with Stephanopoulos. I'll sit down with Lester Holt. I'll sit down with Ed Gordon of the BET network. I'm going to do appearances. I'm going to address NATO. I'm going to do a press conference. That's a guy that wants to stay. So what happened? What type of leverage did they use to force him out? Because keep in mind, he's got nowhere to go. He's 81 years old. He doesn't need another job. I'm pretty sure he's got a pension in Social Security, what's left of it. So didn't kill that yet. So something happened behind the scenes to force him out and take his 34% approval rating and his vice president, who's got 34% approval rating, and then leave everything to her. I mean, she literally took over his office. They just took the name off the door. They took his, she took his entire staff and now is running for president. And
so
he's on a speakerphone to say, oh, it's okay.
What's your theory about why it happened? Why did he go from a guy who wanted to stay, suddenly a guy who's gone? What's your theory?
Well, a couple of things that you can relate to, and that's money. All the donors have stopped giving, and then you have everyone jumping ship, and then you have a situation where the only thing you have left is Jill, Hunter, Steve Ricchetti, and Mike Donilon. And you look around and said, I haven't done enough to quell the uprising. I have no choice. I'm going to go, and I'm not going to be able to turn this thing around. I got a DNC, and I even have nobody who wants to speak on my behalf. So yeah. Either that, or it's Nancy Pelosi saying, I'll 25th Amendment you, and that's pretty much what the New York Post says today. And yeah, if you read the Wall Street Journal, they chronicle all the times behind the scenes where he's fallen short in front of friendly audiences. 2021, when he comes and tries to explain the infrastructure deal, why he needs $1 trillion. He gets up to explain to his caucus, and he makes absolutely no sense. And Nancy Pelosi's got to get up and finish it up. Our allies and diplomats on different meetings, not being able to show up and for 5 days only going to two meetings when overseas in Lithuania. Now all these stories are coming out, and I sense they're going to get worse.
But he's the president for another nearly 6 months.
Politically, it behooves the Republicans to leave him exactly where he is. But for the country, clearly he's not up to the game.
Right.
And clearly he's not up to the job. He said one of the things to donors, one thing I'm doing is working too hard. I'm going to get up a little bit later. I'm going to end the day a little bit earlier. Fantastic. The anti-American work ethic, front and center, by the most powerful man in America. That should have been the red flag. But politically, the Republicans would not benefit from Kamala Harris having Air Force One and looking like the first female president of the United States.
True.
But for the country, he probably should go.
Kamala Harris has likened Trump to the criminals that she used to prosecute when she was the attorney general in California. She's attacking Trump, the person, as opposed to Trump's policies. Is she trying to out-Trump Trump, going after him personally?
Really? America knows Donald Trump. America doesn't need it defined by anybody, whether it's Joe Biden, Barack Obama, or Kamala Harris. Number two is, do you really want to examine those New York cases and underline the fact how corrupt they were, how politically motivated they remain? And every time people looked at those cases, Trump got more money. So the money flowed in after the conviction. You want to go back there? Well, by the way, the immunity ruling that came out of the Supreme Court, soon they're going to be revisiting the New York case because a lot of that stuff was done when he was president. So when you talk convicted felon, don't be surprised if suddenly that's not going to work anymore or be accurate. And maybe focus more on what Hunter Biden's going to be looking at in September and what he experienced already 3 weeks ago.
Politics is just fascinating, isn't it? Brian Kilmeade,
especially
you're
now.
All right?
Yeah.
Especially now. I'll see you again soon. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks so much, Stuart. Let's go out to Thomas, listening over in Texas. Hey, Thomas.
Brian Kilmeade, you're all right?
Yeah. Slow your radio, Thomas. You're on.
All right. Thanks so much, Stuart. Let's go out to Thomas,
Unfortunately, we can't go to him, but he was waiting a long time. A couple other things. In case you don't know, so Cheadle resigns, that's it. So they get what they wanted. But for the investigation part, you're going to look at this, and I'll bring back some of the sound. The police chief was involved, and the sheriff involved in the security in that Pennsylvania Butler field. He's testifying now. And if it's anything like his opening statements, I sense we're going to get answers. Because originally we talked to the town supervisor on Fox and Friends, I think about on Friday. And he wanted to correct the record. And what's the record he wanted to correct? He said, we had 7 cops there, and most were assigned to traffic. So for the Secret Service to blame us for not securing that roof is totally inaccurate. So he says, I don't do security for a living, but I know I can only spare 7 cops. Now, I went to Milwaukee to do the RNC. You know, I saw cops from all around the country there. It's a chance to get overtime, see a different part of the country, be part of a major event. And that's what usually happens. Maybe Butler didn't get the word out to get some more help, but they didn't get help. And if you don't get help, it's up to the Secret Service to supply it. But don't blame the local cops. I'll see everybody. Speaking of Pennsylvania, I'll be in Sprottsburg, Pennsylvania on the 27th. Talking about History, Liberty, and Laughs Tour. It's a show like no other. I want to see you there. Go to BrianKilmeade.com. VIP tickets remain. And talk about everything, all these books that I've done.
From high atop Fox News headquarters in New York City, always seeking solutions, never sowing division, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everyone. Brian Kilmeade here. Thanks so much for listening. We've got a busy hour coming your way. We have Jackie Heinrich is standing by. She's going to give us the latest what's happening in Rehoboth, Delaware. Word is the president's going to go back to work at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and Tammy Bruce at the bottom of the hour. We're following this breaking story, and that is the Secret Service director has resigned on her own volition. She was not fired. She got plaudits on her way out. We're also looking at a few other stories, and that is Kamala Harris is going to have a big event for her to see what kind of response she gets now that she's going to be the nominee for the Democratic Party. She's assembled enough support for that. Jackie, as senior White House correspondent, you have to wonder to yourself, where's going to be my focus? Is it going to be on Kamala on the road or the president in the White House?
You know, it has been basically like drinking from a fire hose since June 27th. So I don't ever plan to have much of an idea what my day is going to look like.
I mean, we haven't really seen this since LBJ stayed in the White House and let Hubert Humphrey be the nominee.
We really haven't. And this was a surprise to everyone, including the vice president, the president's chief of staff, and his campaign manager. You know, we were reporting Sunday and yesterday that the president arrived at his decision Saturday afternoon with just two of his closest aides, drafted that letter through the night, and then notified his VP, his chief, and his campaign just ahead of the rest of his staff finding out, which went out, you know, they found out a minute before the public. So this was really a shocking decision, and even more shocking, I think, to watch the delegates swing to Harris in just the last day since she assumed the role of the, you know, presumptive nominee, even after all these Democrats said that they can't have a coronation, you need to have a process. And there really has not been a process because nobody has challenged her. So we're going to be watching that play out. And we still haven't seen the president. We haven't heard from him directly. He did call into the campaign yesterday to tell his staff that, look, you got to continue to do the job for Harris now. And he's going to head back to the White House later on today. We're seeing the Washington Post reporting that there's going to be an announcement. Biden's going to talk about his decision tomorrow in some sort of an address. So we're trying to confirm that information and get a better idea of when the rest of the country is going to understand how and why the president arrived at this decision.
Yeah, so here's what he said yesterday. He called in when Kamala Harris went with her husband to the headquarters that were Biden-Harris that are now Harris and Dash. Cut one.
I know yesterday's news was surprising and it's hard for you to hear, but it was the right thing to do. I know it's hard because you poured your heart and soul into me saying, help us win this thing. Help me get this nomination. Help me win the nomination and then go on to win the presidency. But, you know, you're an amazing team. But
all right. So you get it. That's his sentiment. But we don't really know. We didn't see him. It spawns a whole bunch of people coming up with different ideas. Is it AI? Is it really Joe Biden? Is he really bad, or how sick is he from COVID? So we're going to dispel all that when we see him. But ultimately, Jackie, we got to find out what really turned him, because we watched him say, I'm not going anywhere. We watched him sit down and do Stephanopoulos and Lester Holt and BET with Ed Gordon. We watched him do the press conference. We watched him handle NATO. So we watched him do rallies. So what happened?
Well, from our understanding, Nancy Pelosi was not going to accept his answer being no, because the data kept coming in and it kept showing that with Biden at the top of the ticket, Democrat prospects for not just the White House, but the House and the Senate were sinking ever more with every day that Biden stayed at the top. And so she was not going to let him ignore any polling, any data, fundraising numbers that really spelled doom for Democrats. So when the president called Mike Donilon and Steve Ricchetti to his Rehoboth home on Saturday afternoon, those two men brought with them the same data that Nancy Pelosi had been talking about and encouraging her colleagues to, you know, share their concerns over and talk about publicly. And there was a lot of reporting that the private push that we'd been watching play out from Democratic leadership with a drip, drip, drip of different members of Congress saying, yeah, I'm getting on board, I think that Biden should drop, that that was going to all turn public and Pelosi was going to release those polls and talk about them herself. That would have been like a lightning bolt through the Democratic Party. And it looked like, you know, the president accepted that what she was looking at really was insurmountable. But this is obviously a tough decision for the president, because he said in that press conference, why were you not at, why did you not stick with your pledge to be a one-term president, a bridge to a future generation of leaders? What happened? And he said, well, what happened was the division in the country happened, the sort of economic situation that we're facing and foreign policy, and I believe I'm the best person for the job. He didn't have full confidence that his vice president could do a better job than him. So having to swallow your pride and swallow the data must have been very difficult. He obviously did it, you know, overnight on Saturday, but it followed weeks of mounting pressure, 23 days.
Do you think the New York Post has a story, and just to sum it up, that they really were threatening him with good cop, bad cop? Schumer was like, give me a hug. You got a week to decide. You really should go. You got to have a great legacy. Enjoy your life. And Speaker Pelosi was, if you don't do this, we're going to force you out. Or we're going to do a 25th Amendment. Do you think it got to that? Have you heard anything about that direct threat?
I haven't heard anything about the 25th Amendment, but I have heard that it was going to get ugly because they were viewing the president's resistance as being selfish. And remember, you can't become the thing that you're claiming Trump is, which is selfish and only in it for himself. And that sort of upends all of their party's messaging. And so I think that if the president was going to be outed by his longest allies as making a selfish choice, that would have been untenable.
Lastly, Jackie, whose decision was it, do you think, to do that debate? That's when it all fell apart. Nobody was asking for a June debate. Trump wasn't even involved in negotiations, or barely was. Said yes. People say, well, I didn't think he was going to say yes. Well, that's one theory. The other question is, they knew he would say yes, and that would expose Biden as being unable to complete thoughts under pressure.
Well, I've heard some names who were most vocally pushing for it. I've also heard that there was unanimous consent among the leadership that that was the best idea, because remember, they were spending so much money, I mean, dating back to last fall when he started to slip in the swing states, and nothing was moving the needle. And so the belief was that you could energize the base, because at that point, a lot of their own internal polling showed that most voters weren't even engaged in the election. They didn't think it was going to be a matchup again between Biden and Trump, and they weren't really paying attention. And yet they're spending all this money. They continue to slip in the swing states. And so they thought, well, let's just get them out there, get people engaged. They expected that Trump would act, you know, a fool, and that it would better position Biden. Obviously that did not happen. And you can see that the circle of advisors around the president has shrunk to exclude some of the people who would ordinarily be in those meetings. His chief of staff isn't there. Anita Dunn isn't there. At the end of the day, the people in his corner were Mike Donilon and Steve Ricchetti.
Yeah, and they still blame Donilon. They blame Anita Dunn for his over-preparation for the debates, or under, however you want to view it. So, Jackie, now we have the head of Secret Service resigning, the director. And it wasn't Joe Biden that fired them. She resigned. Cheadle did. Mm-hmm. And then a glowing exit letter from the president of the United States. He doesn't fire anybody.
He does not fire anybody. And I also noticed that he said, you know, Jill and I, thank you for your service. You know, the Secret Service director served on the First Lady's detail back when she was Second Lady, I believe, when President Biden was Vice President. They've got a long relationship with her, and she was handpicked by the president and the first lady for this role. It's an appointed position. I also asked Secretary Mayorkas, you know, would the president accept her resignation if his investigation found fault? And he didn't even want to speculate, which tells you that the relationship there is a long one, and loyalty is everything to Joe Biden. So it's sort of a stunning turn of events to see this unfold. But I think that hearing that ended in bipartisan calls for her to leave her position really left no choice, and certainly Biden not in a position to say, actually, we're going to keep you.
Absolutely. So it's on Jackie Heinrich, who's on the Rehoboth beat right now. So we understand it's official from the Oval Office tomorrow at 8, Thursday. Did you say Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday,
tomorrow. Okay. Yeah. It'll be tomorrow, Wednesday at 8 o'clock, at which time, you know, the usually addresses are under 15 minutes from the Oval Office. It's going to knock out the network hours. What can we expect? I mean, what is the right just endorse Kamala Harris? She's younger. I think it's time for me to step aside for a new generation of On Second Thought. Is that roughly what you expect? You expect it to be an attack on Trump?
I think all of the above. I will say that we were trying to understand how the president would make this announcement, because typically Oval Office addresses are reserved for somber moments, emergencies. You know, he just did an Oval Office address after the assassination attempt on Trump and called for the country to turn down the rhetoric and, you know, cool it with the division. This is not the setting where you would expect him to make a big campaign announcement that swung all of his support to his vice president and re-energized the base. It kind of gets you inside of his head and shows that he is sad about this moment. This is a serious and somber moment for him personally. It puts a period at the end of 50 years of public service. And we kind of expected that maybe he would do this in a setting where there was an adoring crowd and a teleprompter, where he has, you know, delivered some of his most successful and well-received remarks in the past. Obviously, they did not go that route, and he's going to do an Oval Office address. But there's a lot to explain. How he arrived at his decision, because it's understood widely that the heavyweights in the party, his allies for many, many years, really shoved him out the door. And there's a lot of reporting that we have also confirmed that he was sad about that. He felt betrayed. And so this is going to be a fascinating thing to watch him explain and also navigate as he tries to position his vice president, who he just said recently, you know, wasn't a better candidate for the task than he was, to swing all of his supporters behind her.
So what do you think now, Jackie, as a person and a reporter, that the Wall Street Journal now has details of his failings behind the scenes? People talked about now where he's trying to talk about infrastructure in 2021 to his Democratic colleagues, and he got so lost he had to be saved by Nancy Pelosi. When he's in meetings about Ukraine, when he's trying to get Ukraine aid, his voice was so low he was barely audible, and people voiced concerns. And we have all these examples of behind the scenes where he's gotten everybody nervous about his failings and the recent rapid deterioration. When you ask questions about that, you were being partisan. You were being presumptive. You were being disrespectful, right? Cheap fakes.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about the fact that now all these people clearly saw this going on, including the vice president, and they said the exact opposite?
Well, I think it really harms the credibility of the spokespeople for this administration, who maligned solid reporting. I mean, leave aside their gripe with the New York Post over that cover from the G7. The Wall Street Journal report, where they talked to 45 sources over 6 months and had a lot of detail about concerns within the party, within the president's closest contacts, about his age really taking a toll on him, especially in recent months. They skewered that reporting. I think Andrew Bates tweeted 70-something times about it. And whenever we, as reporters, have information that is uncomfortable for them, the answer that we often get is that we've got bad sources, or this is a bad faith attack. This is a targeted attack against the president from a source we should never trust because they have their own interests. And it's difficult to navigate as a reporter because you want to do the right thing in the sense of getting, you know, the sources on the record and the official White House position. You want to also be able to believe them. And it's very clear that sometimes you just can't. So making a call on how far to go with a report when they're flat out denying it, the call I often make is just to, hey, include it all because we can't tell you what's what.
And now, if you want to get the latest from the press room, you got to go to The View because that's what KJP is today.
That's correct. We hope that we will have a briefing soon, but also we have not had briefings whenever the president has been away. And, you know, he's in Delaware after dropping out of the race. I think he's going to spend a lot more time in Delaware. And so we had had sort of long weekends, briefingless Fridays for a long time, especially during the summers. And I hope that that doesn't mean that we're going to have fewer briefings through the end of his administration, because it doesn't look like he's going to spend quite as much time at the White House as maybe previously planned.
Jackie, lastly, 30 seconds. We have Netanyahu landing. Nobody's around. Secretary of State, Vice President, or President. No one's agreed him. The President's going to meet with Netanyahu on Thursday. So he's not really getting the respect. The Vice President will preside over Congress when he gives his joint session and speech. This is a pretty big diss.
It is a big diss. The only thing I would couch that in is that Netanyahu is here at the invitation of House Republicans, I believe. They were the ones who initiated this trip. Of course, you as the administration want to show up, especially as they're trying to broker and take credit for a peace deal. I think it might have some suggestion about where that peace deal stands, the reception that he's getting right now. And it looks like they're trying to accommodate, but we'll see how it works out.
All right. Thanks so much. Jackie Heinrich, doing great work. Now you got to really decide where your beat is. It's everywhere. Jackie.
Thanks, Brian.
I know. Senior White House correspondent. Thanks so much. We come back. I'll squeeze in some calls to Tammy Bruce at the bottom of the hour. We're following all the breaking news. Don't move.
It's Brian Kilmeade. The fastest 3 hours in radio. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
I absolutely would endorse Vice President Kamala Harris. You know, I supported Kamala Harris in 2020 when she ran for president. You know, I was out there on the campaign trail with her. You know, she was the only reason that I voted for the Biden-Harris ticket to begin with. And, you know, we have our, you know, disagreements on air and off air. But I think that, you know, she is the perfect person, you know, to be in these, to fight in these unprecedented times right now.
That is Charlemagne the God saying that he is all for Kamala Harris. What he told us, too, is that, you know, he's disappointed in her, but he says, I'm sure Joe Biden's holding her back. I believe that'll be the storyline shortly. The storyline shortly will be, yeah, I got 34% approval rating. You know why? Because I wasn't able to do this. This is not my administration. This new administration will be mine. And you got an idea. If you are pro-Israel, you don't want this administration. They did not show up when Benjamin Netanyahu just landed. Chuck Schumer will not be part and not show up, or Hakeem Jeffries. I understand for the joint session of Congress when he addresses both, which is inexcusable. This is an ally. You don't like the leader of our ally? You don't show up? You crazy? Now, if a Hamas leader or a Palestinian leader showed up, would you? Absolutely. Because you're scared of the college kids, the kids with nose rings who aren't going to vote anyway, who have, now we find out, Iran behind a lot of the protests. We'll talk about this Saturday night in East Stroudsburg, BrianKilmeade.com, History, Liberty, and Laughs. Be there.
The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Does Joe feel betrayed by any of that, or does he understand that it was for the country also?
I mean, look, he's going to speak tomorrow. We'll hear from him directly, and I think he'll address whatever is on his heart. Like you said, he has a big heart.
Yeah.
He understands where people are. He understands having done this 36 years as a senator, 8 years as vice president, and now almost 4 years as president. He gets it. He gets where we are as a country. Let's not forget, there's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake, guys.
They're not kidding.
Mm-hmm. Our democracy is at stake. A woman's right to choose and to make decisions on their own bodies at stake.
Right. That is the admitted liar. That is KJP. on The View moments ago. She was going to address the press, and she was feel free to say, you know, he's working circles around us. The president's great behind the scenes. He's got so much energy. He's fine. These are cheap fakes that show that are taken out of context when you show videos as if he's wandering around at the G7. And then when he comes back and seems to get confused with the Mexican president and the Egyptian president, with Vladimir Putin and Zelensky, that's on you. He's a stutterer. Don't be judgmental. So we know that's all a lie. Tammy Bruce knows it. She is here right now in studio. If you're smart enough to have the app, you can see the stream. Fox News contributor and author of Fear Itself, Exposing the Left's Mind-Killing Agenda. Tammy, how could she sit there like a hero and explain to The View that it's better for the country for her boss not to run again?
Yeah, the lies are pathological. They do this like as easily as they say, I'll have cornflakes for breakfast. This is what they do. And the goal is, and this is what is just so horrible, is that they know that people's lives are at stake. They know that the future is at stake. It's about the economy. It's about safety. It's about the open border. It's about a mom of five getting raped and murdered in a park by somebody who shouldn't have been here in the first place. Hundreds of terrorists being through, at least certainly associated with ISIS, things that have not emerged quite yet. And yet there they are. And she's trying to fearmonger, saying, you know, everything's at stake. A woman's right to control her body. That is simply not true. That is a lie. It's just at the states now. States are going to Americans generally agree that, you know, abortion at a certain point, likely about 15 weeks, they know problems happen. They want women to have options. That's true. There's going to be it. But it's always about the nature of making you. It's not about defending the issues. She couldn't defend the economy or anything else. She's there to tell you, be afraid. That's what she's there to tell you. And in order to do that, she has to lie. And she does it happily.
Well, she does. But now it's just hard to do with a straight face because her lie is in, well, the president is in Rehoboth with COVID. He's got to come back tomorrow and address the press, address the country at 8 o'clock tomorrow. And he phoned in to say, my vice president's a better nominee than me. Since when? Right. For 3 weeks, he told us that he was the best. He's not going anywhere.
That's right.
Did all the interviews, did the press conference. So what, Tammy, you know, the Democrats.
Yeah.
So what happened behind the scenes?
My feeling was that there was no upside for him to not run again, right? That is his only seat of power, to protect his family, protect him. They're all under investigation. And then, you know, if it doesn't work, then he loses. But if he steps away, he doesn't even have the chance of trying to win. And remember, obviously, they won in 2020.
Right.
They won in the same fashion, which was lying to people, hiding him in the basement. Biden is perhaps a little bit worse than he was in 2020, but not much. This is what's confusing to them, is that they agreed to this fraud. They said, yes, we'll be your front man. Clearly, we don't know who's been running the country. And then now he's wondering, why am I now not the guy? And of course, the answer is because the polls are low.
So,
and they have something that they pressed him on. Either they noted
that leverage
the 25th Amendment, maybe they were going to literally do that to him.
New York Post says that.
Yes. And that, or if there was something we don't know, but it had to be a leverage, much like the impeachment vote against Nixon. They took that vote and he saw that Republicans had abandoned him. That is the only reason why Nixon resigned. So that's what they were going to do to him, even though all of them were in it. They put him in this position, and then they were kicking him out because the debate. Well, the debate, and Trump's not in jail. His numbers kept going up. All of those plans went to hell.
So here's the story that got my attention this morning. Wall Street Journal, how the bet on an 81-year-old Joe Biden turned into an epic miscalculation. And they say this story it starts with. In 30 minutes of remarks on Capitol Hill, Biden had spoken disjointedly and failed to make a concrete ask of lawmakers, according to Democrats in the room. After he left, a visibly frustrated Pelosi told the group she would articulate what Biden had been trying to say. He's been trying to tell everyone why you need a $1 trillion infrastructure bill. He was talking just to Democrats and made no sense. Here's the quote. It was the first time I remember people pretty jarred by what they had seen. That's Dean Phillips. He was so upset no one ran, he ran. And they cleared the field to make sure that there was nobody that was going to make him compete in New Hampshire. So we started in South Carolina.
That's right.
And now after getting 14 million votes, he tells them, you don't matter. My vice president, who's got 34% approval rating, like me, will take the mantle now, but she's younger.
Yes, and that shows you that, again, from the beginning, having Biden in any room exposed him as having the problems he has. The debate exposed him for those problems. However, perhaps they were in some kind of denial because Jill Biden, I would think, was not going to let him do that if she didn't think it was going to reinforce that he's fine. So I think what we've had is this kind of mass delusion happening that it has kind of worked,
right,
and they wanted it to continue to work. And they maybe they also realized that the field now has changed with all the conversations about election security and what we've now been exposed to. But they just know that it's changed right enough. I do think they're worried more about the down ballot. I don't know why Kamala Harris would allow herself to be the sacrificial lamb here, but maybe she just sees 24 as her year.
So October 2021, that was the last time he met. October 2021 is the last time he met with Democrats, a Democratic caucus. 3 years later, concerns about his age and mental acuity have been put into abrupt cap on his career. It's grown from a murmur among allies who said they believed or hoped they'd be catching the president on a bad day to a deafening roar after the debate. Well, so listen to what KJP was just asked on The View.
So listen, there have been a lot of criticisms about if the White House was transparent enough about Biden's health in the months leading up to the debate. But now calls have gone further, including vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance saying if he's not up to serving four more years, can he serve out the rest of his term? How do you respond to that?
I think that's ridiculous. Seriously.
He's ridiculous.
Not me. But what I will say is, like, the president decided to not run for reelection. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all he decided on. He wants to continue to do the work. 3.5 years of unprecedented historic work.
That's true. That's true. Unprecedentedly bad. The worst things we've experienced.
And the country backs what you said, Tammy, because look at the approval rating. If he had 60% approval rating, you might say Republicans don't understand why he's so popular. Instead, I keep on saying, why do you keep saying the most successful ever when the American public has looked at this? 70% say you shouldn't run again, and 36% say you're doing a good job.
Well, she said unprecedented at that point. And this is one of the problems with when you are running only on manipulation, fear, control, all of that, that when it comes right down to it, you haven't been able to govern. You can't defend yourself on the issues. And so it's like, well, he just decided to not run again. Why not matters, because it speaks to his capabilities. But then if he admits that he can't, then it means he never could have in the first place. That's the cover up. From the beginning, everybody knew what the situation was.
And you say the Democrats in your book try to create fear. Is that global warming? The world's going to end?
Yes, exactly. So it's an ancient technique. It's not new. It's only not just now. It's used. Fear is used because it creates mass anxiety, and then you retreat. You become afraid to engage because then there's punishments. So it is about global warming, where some people, you know, a woman I know has decided not to have children because she's so afraid of the global warming. It paralyzes decision making. But it also, like if you're a parent and you go to a school board meeting and then the FBI puts you on a list, that it makes you afraid about that. Understandably, fear, it's not about fear per se. Fear is a gift. It is meant to be transitory, so you can use your reasonable mind to make decisions. What the left has done is they've weaponized it, made it chronic, which then leads to mass anxiety, which makes people not sure of the future. The economy does that as well. When you don't have enough money, when you can't pay your rent, when you don't know what food you can give your kid, the arguments about global warming, that now our breathing is causing a problem, that our existence is the issue. You can get fired for the wrong pronouns.
Cows.
You can get fired for saying a man should not be on a women's swim team. It is a remarkable series. It's an onion, a series of events that make people understandably afraid of participating politically. You have less money to help candidates. A candidate gets shot in the face because of the nature of the rhetoric. Same with Justice Kavanaugh. Barely avoided a mentally unstable person being tipped over because of the rhetoric. My book lays it out that it is unnatural, it is not normal, it's not organic, and it's not inevitable. And I discuss how we can overcome it as well.
And also major corporations have to subscribe to DEI or they're going to be delisted.
Exactly.
So listen to Tim Burchett, a Republican congressman in the House, when asked about Kamala Harris being a DEI hire.
First off, he said he's going to hire a black female for vice president, and that not he just skipped over. What about white females? What about any other group? It just when you go down that route, you take mediocrity, and that's what they have right now as a vice president.
Are you suggesting she was a DEI hire?
100%, she was a DEI hire.
So 1951.
I'm so
was he about to go into like a country club in like rural Tennessee there like in 1951? Is he serious? If you are a black woman, then you're a DEI hire.
Well, how could you interpret it like that? He said a minority woman.
Yeah. When you make a statement that your choice is going to be based on identity politics alone, that immediately, and he was criticized at the time, it immediately creates a question about the nature of who's being hired. That's the problem. Women and people of color then, and many have argued when it comes to issues of affirmative action, the problem with being presumed that you are put in because of the color of your skin as opposed to really deserving it, that is the scourge of affirmative action, of DEI dynamics, of identity politics themselves. Let me just warning your audience, the pause in and toning down the rhetoric after the assassination attempt lasted about 24 hours, if that much. It is going to get ramped up. It is going to be more. That's why this book is important. It is about how to overcome it. On decisions regarding courage and decisions to not let strangers tell you how to think about yourself. So it's important. But the fact is that this is the conversation. And then when you bring it up because it is unfair to women and people of color, then you're the bigot because you say this is unnecessary. The pool should be big enough to where you hire the most qualified. And inevitably, that could end up being a woman. It could end up being a person of color, obviously. But either way, now they're trying to run away from that. And I think that the American people are going to have a lot to say on November 5th, because if there's ever a time when we can walk away from this garbage, the time is now. And the first victims have been Democrats with this nonsense that they're doing, the harming of the nature of personal relationships, the hermetically sealed balkanization of groups in this country, the treatment of Jews. It is time to say enough is enough.
Right. And that's why you wrote the book.
I did. Fear Itself. And right. I think the timing is right. And I'm very proud. So thank you for having
me. All right.
Me.
Awesome, Tammy. We'll have you back, too. Tammy Bruce, her book is Fear Itself. Go get it now. You can get it anywhere, right?
That's right. Right. Today is the launch. So this is great.
Fantastic. Yes, it's Tuesday. It's launch day. When we come back, we'll back to wrap up the hour. You listen to the Brian Kilmeade Show. Don't move.
Covering this election year like no other. It's Brian Kilmeade. He's so busy, he'll make your head spin. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Well, it looks like the Democratic Party is rallying around Vice President Kamala Harris as their likely nominee. And a lot of political experts think Harris will pick a white man to be her running mate. Now, she hasn't said anything about it, but look at what I saw in the news earlier.
That's right. And from what we're hearing, here's what Vice President Harris is looking for in a running mate. Someone who bites their bottom lip while dancing. Someone who can name more than two NASCAR drivers. And finally, someone who shops in J. Crew's flat butt khaki section.
Don't you think that's pretty funny?
Very funny, yes.
But it's okay to use stereotypes for white people. And I'm not insulted. Eric, I don't want to speak for you. Are you insulted?
No.
As a white male. Okay, fine. Because, you know, I don't want Eric storming out. Do you know how to work anything there, Allison?
I could put your mic on.
I mean, we were close right there, but no, not offended.
But, I mean, for some reason, I wanted to go find The Daily Show. That's when Jon Stewart's on. I want to watch that at 2:30 in the morning when I'm up. But I guess he wasn't on because there was no Daily Show. Unless my DVR malfunctioned, which I doubt because...
You're so good with technology, so right. It must have been The Daily Show. Wasn't
it? As you know, besides the CrowdStrike thing that destroyed everything electronic...
Can we just say with all the crazy news on that, we do need to talk about that more and what a national security threat
it is.
The fact that one company getting... It's like shuts down half, three quarters of the country.
How long were you delayed leaving Milwaukee?
Like 5 hours.
Oh, you got five. I got two. Okay. We were really aboard a plane until JFK literally called the desk and called. They go, JFK's on the phone and says, you can't leave yet. Like, this is strange because they were so backed up, they were starting to get online. And I saw that Delta is still getting hammered right now.
Yep, down in Atlanta. It's crazy. You know, Buttigieg is really laying the hammer on them, saying you got to get your act together. But I mean, the bigger picture is like this is the main cybersecurity company for a majority of the world, not even just the U.S.
No, I know. I hear you. So some of the news just to review. The President of the United States is going to be for now at 8 o'clock tomorrow at the Oval Office, 8 p.m. Eastern time. He's going to be telling everyone why he made the decision he made. Next, Cheadle, the Secret Service director, he is now resigned, out, not fired, out, had to quit on her own. So we're following those two stories. The President of the United States, the former President of the United States, weighed in about on Truth Social about how the Biden-Harris administration didn't keep him safe and took a bullet for democracy. That's interesting. We'll see where that goes, and we'll see if the Secret Service gets a little legitimately bulked up. But I still want to see a massive investigation into this. Next, Elon Musk weighed in on something I didn't expect. Do you know he has got a gender transitioning son who he now considers to be, he says, my son died. He said he was told during COVID that he needed to do this or he's going to commit suicide. So we gave permission for gender transitioning. Did you hear that, what he had to say, Derek? Were you able to get that? Okay.
I was essentially tricked into signing documents for one of my older boys, Xavier. This is before I had really any understanding of what was going on, and we had COVID going on, and so there was a lot of confusion. You know, I was told, Xavier might commit suicide.
So he's telling that to Jordan Peterson because he just said, because Jordan Peterson was there. He was here 5, 6, 7 years ago when they said they're trying to get everyone blended in terms of what gender they are. They're also doing something similar in New York when it comes to school uniforms. Not so heterocentric, which I don't even know what that means. But this is what Republicans are digging in on. Forget the pronouns. Forget the being gender fluid. Enough. Keep women. Keep men out of women's sports. Instead of whispering it, they're now running on it. And I think if Kamala Harris keeps digging in on it, she will lose by a lot.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day. Featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.